Further Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 45, The Final Years at Jagannath Puri, Episode 9, taken from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, Chapter 16, Lord Chaitanya's Ecstatic Exhibitions, Part 7. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy to recite some verses, and thus Ramananda spoke as follows: Surata Vardhanang Shokanashanang Svarita Venuna Sushtu Chumbitam Itara Raga Vismaranang Nirnang Ditara Viranaste Dharamritam. The gopis prayed, O Krishna, O hero of charity, please deliver us the nectar of your lips, for that nectar increases lusty desires for enjoyment and diminishes lamentation in this material world. So kindly give us the nectar of your lips, which are touched by your transcendentally vibrating flute. That nectar indeed makes all human beings forget all other attachments. Upon hearing Ramananda Roy quote this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Then Lord Chaitanya recited the following verse, which had been spoken by Srimati Radharani in great anxiety: Brajatula Kulanganetara Rasali Krishna Hara Pradivyad Adharamrita Supriti Labja Fela Lava Sudhajid Ahivalika Sudala Vitika Charvata Same Madana Mohana Sakita Noti Jiva Spriham. O my dear friend, the all-surpassing nectar from the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be obtained only after many, many pious activities. For the beautiful gopis of Vrindavana, that nectar vanquishes the desire for all other tastes. Madana Mohan always chews pan that surpasses the nectar of heaven. Krishna is certainly increasing the desires of my tongue. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed by ecstatic loving emotions. Talking like a madman, Lord Chaitanya began to explain the meaning of the two verses in the mood of Srimati Radharani. O Krishna, my dear lover, let me describe some of the characteristics of your transcendental lips. They agitate the mind and body of everyone. Your transcendental lips increase lusty desires for enjoyment. Your transcendental lips destroy the burden of material happiness and lamentation. And your transcendental lips make one forget all material tastes. The whole world falls under the control of your transcendental lips. They vanquish shame, religion, and patience, especially in women. Indeed, your transcendental lips inspire madness in the minds of all women. Your lips increase the greed of the tongue and thus attract it. Considering all of this, we gopis see the activities of your transcendental lips are always paradoxical. My dear Krishna, since you are a male, it is not very extraordinary that the attraction of your lips can disturb the minds of women. But I am ashamed to say that your impudent lips sometimes attract even your flute, which is also considered a male. Your flute likes to drink the nectar of your lips, and thus the flute also forgets all other tastes. Aside from conscious living beings, Even unconscious matter is sometimes made conscious by your lips. Therefore, your lips are great magicians. Paradoxically, although your flute is nothing but dry wood, your lips constantly make it drink their nectar. They create a mind and senses in the dry wooden flute, and give the flute transcendental bliss. That flute is a very cunning male who drinks again and again the taste of another male's lips. It advertises its qualities and says to the gopis, "Oh, gopis, if you are so proud of being women, come forward and enjoy your property, the nectar of the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." But thereupon, the flute said angrily to me, "Give up your shame, fear, and religion, and come drink the lips of Krishna. On that condition only, I shall give up my attachment for the lips of Krishna. If you do not give up your shame and fear, however, then I shall continuously drink the nectar of Krishna's lips. I am slightly fearful, because you also have the right to drink that nectar. But as for the others, I consider them to be just like straw. The nectar of Krishna's lips, combined with the vibration of Krishna's flute, attracts all the people of the three worlds. But if we gopis remain patient out of respect for religious principles, then the flute criticizes us. Oh, Krishna, the nectar of your lips and the vibration of your flute join together to loosen our belts and induce us to give up shame and religion even before our superiors. As if catching us by our hair, they forcibly take us away and deliver us unto you, Krishna, only to become your maidservants. Hearing of these incidents, people laugh at us. We have thus become completely subordinate to your flute. This flute is nothing but a dry stick of bamboo, but it becomes our master and insults us in so many ways, forcing us into a predicament. What can we do but tolerate it? The mother of a thief cannot cry loudly for justice when the thief is punished. Therefore, we gopis simply remain silent. So such is the policy of these lips of yours, Krishna. Just consider some other injustices. Everything that touches those lips, including food, drink, or betel, becomes just like nectar. It is then called Krishna Fela, or remnants left by Krishna. Even after much prayer, the demigods themselves cannot obtain even a small portion of the remnants of such food. Just imagine the pride of those remnants. Only a person who has acted piously for many, many births and has thus become a devotee can obtain the remnants of such food. The betel chewed by Krishna is priceless, and the remnants of such chewed betel from Krishna's mouth are said to be the essence of nectar. And when the gopis accept these remnants, their mouths become Krishna's spittoons. Therefore, my dear Krishna, please give up all the tricks you have set up so expertly. Do not try to kill the life of the gopis with the vibration of your flute. Because of your joking and laughing, you are becoming responsible for the killing of women. So it would be better for you to satisfy us by giving us the charity of the nectar of your lips. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking like this, Lord Chaitanya's mind changed. Lord Chaitanya's anger subsided, but Lord Chaitanya's mental agitation increased. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued speaking, "This nectar from Krishna's lips is supremely difficult to obtain. But if one gets some, his or her life then becomes successful. When a person competent to drink that nectar does not do so, that shameless person continues his or her life uselessly. There are persons who are unfit to drink that nectar, but who nevertheless drink it continuously, whereas some who are suitable never get it and thus die of greed. It is therefore to be understood that such an unfit person must have obtained the nectar of Krishna's lips on the strength of some austerity." Again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Ramananda Rai. "Oh, please say something. I want to hear." Understanding the situation, Ramananda Roy recited the following words of the gopis. Gopya kim acharan ayam kushalan sma venur damodaradhara sudham api gopikanam bhunkte swayanyad avashishta rasang hradinyo rishatvachoshu mumuchu staravo yatarya. "My dear gopi friends, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed in order to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently, leaving only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, thus shed tears of pleasure, and the flute's mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, also feels jubilation. Therefore, her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body." Upon hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became absorbed in ecstatic love, and with a greatly agitated mind, Lord Chaitanya began explaining its meaning like a madman. Some gopis then said to other gopis, "Just see the astonishing pastimes of Krishna, the son of Vraja Indra. Krishna will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore the gopis know for certain that the nectar of Krishna's lips is their own property and cannot be enjoyed by anyone else. So, my dear gopis, fully consider how many pious activities this flute has performed in his past life. We do not know what places of pilgrimage this flute has visited, what austerities this flute has performed, or what perfect mantra this flute has chanted. Yes, this flute is utterly unfit because it is merely a dead bamboo stick, and moreover, it belongs to the male sex. And yet this flute is always drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips, which surpasses nectarian sweetness of every description. Only by hoping for that nectar do us gopis continue to live. Although the nectar of Krishna's lips is the absolute property of us gopis, that flute, which is just an insignificant stick, is forcibly drinking that nectar and loudly inviting the gopis to come drink it also. Just imagine the strength of the flute's austerities and its good fortune. Even great devotees drink the nectar of Krishna's lips after the flute has done so. Now, when Krishna takes bath in universally purifying rivers like the Yamuna and Ganges of the celestial world, the great personalities of those rivers greedily and jubilantly drink the remnants of that nectarian juice from Krishna's lips. Aside from the rivers, the trees standing on the banks like great ascetics and engaging in welfare activities for all living entities, drink the nectar of Krishna's lips by drawing water from the river with their roots. We cannot understand why they drink like that. The trees on the bank of the Yamuna and Ganges are always jubilant. They appear to be smiling with their flowers and shedding tears in the form of flowing honey. Just as the forefathers of a Vaishnava son or Vaishnava grandson feel transcendental bliss, the trees feel blissful because the flute is a member of their own family. The gopis then began to consider, "This flute is completely unfit for his position. We want to know what kind of austerities this flute has executed, so that we may also perform the same austerities. Although the flute is unfit, this flute is drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips. Seeing this, we qualified gopis are dying of unhappiness. Therefore, we must consider the austerities this flute underwent in his past life." So while thus speaking like a madman, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became full of ecstatic emotion. In the company of his two friends, Swarup Damodara Goswami and Ramananda Rai, Lord Chaitanya sometimes danced, sometimes sang, and sometimes became unconscious in ecstatic love. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his days and nights. Expecting the mercy of Swarup, Rupa, Sanatan, and Raghunath Das, and taking their lotus feet upon my head, I, the most fallen Krishna Das, continue chanting this epic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is sweeter than the nectar of transcendental bliss. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate the remnants of food known as Vallabha Bhog, Lord Chaitanya described the glories of such remnants of Krishna's food and then fed all the devotees the prasadam. Thus, they all tasted Adharamrita, the nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna. The remnants of Krishna's food are mixed with Krishna's saliva. In the Mahabharata and the Skanda Purana, it is thus stated, "Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi Su Alpa Punya Batang Rajan Vishvaso Naiva Jayate." Persons who are not very highly elevated in pious activities cannot believe in the remnants of food, prasadam, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor can they believe in Govinda, the holy name of the Lord, nor in the Vaishnavas. The word prakrita refers to things tasted for sense gratification of the conditioned soul. Such things are limited by the material laws. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to make the point that material things have already been experienced by materially absorbed persons who are interested only in sense gratification. Since everyone had previously tasted these ingredients, why had they become extraordinary and spiritually delicious? So this was proof that food, prasadam, becomes uncommonly flavorful and delicious by touching the lips of Sri Krishna. Recorded July 8, 2022 by Nirantara Dasa, All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat. Krishna Drava Mai Radha, Radha Drava Mayo Hari. Jivane Nidhane Nityam, Radha Krishna Gatir Mama. Krishna Drava Mai Radha, Radha Drava Mayo Hari. Jivane Nidhane Nityam, Radha Krishna Gatir Mama. Krishna Drava Mai Radha, Radha Drava Mayo Hari. Jivane Nidhane Nityam, Radha Krishna Gatir Mama. 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 Radha Krishna Gatir Mama, Radha Krishna Gatir Mama. Jayatang Suratau Pangor, Mama Manda Mater Gati, Matsarvasva Padam Bhojao, Radha Madana Mohanao. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. He Krishna Karana Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hey. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hey. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rakshama. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Fatima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sri Radha is totally melted with Krishna, and Sri Hari is totally melted with Radha. So in life or in death, Radha and Krishna are my eternal shelter.